Mike had a son about 30 years ago. Of course, I never met him. Sandra and I weren't married until we were eight. So, I mean, it was a little bit before that. We're from Missouri. She's not my cousin, but by marriage, you know, so everything's okay. But the fact of the matter is, Mike had a son that was about two. Mike's not a believer. His little boy died. Now then, when I talk to Mike about Christ, there's a big hill to overcome, folks. Hey, Mike, Jesus loves you. He does. Wow. Tell him I don't need his love. I had a son, he died. I don't need that kind of love. What happened at VT this week? You know, it's not nice. And it's hard questions for Christians to answer. And folks, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because healing is one of those areas that the fact that you need healed isn't nice. And the fact that the healing may not come the way you want has to be addressed. It just does. How do we reconcile the fact that His Word says, "All who are weak and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest"? And he goes on to say, and Jesus said to the crowd as he was talking with them, "Who among you, if your child asks for a fish, are you going to give him an eel? If he asks for bread, you're going to give him a stone. If you, being earthly or mortal, are good fathers and you take care of your kids, how much better is your Father in heaven, who knows everything, going to take care of you?" How do we reconcile that with the fact that things don't always work out and things aren't always nice the way we think they ought to be? And the fact of the matter is, folks, we cannot answer for Him, nor are we expected to. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the 12th chapter, verse 25, it says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." Folks, I can't tell you how many times I've had to say that prayer or that verse in a situation. Because you know what? I didn't like what God was doing. I really didn't. I felt cheated. I felt abandoned. I felt like He wasn't there. And I had to say that verse to remind me, not remind Him. He knows who He is. I'm very confident that God never has a lack of security in His being. There are times that I have to have a reminder of who He is, and I've had to say that. I can't tell you how many times. "This doesn't make sense, but the foolishness of God is wiser than my wisdom, and His weakness is always stronger than my strength, and I will stand on that." In other words, His ways are not our ways, and we cannot know them fully. We are called to study and educate ourselves about Him and His Word to us, but we must realize that He is not man, that we should come in and debate His ways. This matter of thinking rightly about God is no small thing. Kind of relates to, well, the most important thing in Christian life is faith. How many of you guys have ever seen, I know we all watch Christian movies all the time. I know that's all you watch, so it's a dumb question to even ask it. But in my previously unsaved life last week, Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail. Ever seen that one? And he goes through and he's reading about how to find the Holy Grail, and he says, and he talks about faith, and he throws the rocks out on the little precipice there, and he steps out. Or does he step out first and then throw the rocks? Steps out first, because that was faith, right? Because if he'd have seen the rocks, what would have been? No faith, right? Same thing with this. You see, how you think about God starts with, do you recognize who He is? And do you have the faith to step off the edge? To lose control? To say, I don't have a right to question? Doesn't mean I have to like everything, because God's no fool either. He doesn't expect us to go, yippee-skippee, I just lost my job. No, that's not a bless God moment. That's a moment of, God, I need You, but I still trust You. See, there's a difference. Healing, which is what we're supposed to be talking about, and we can really expect from God and what he has promised us. You see, I kind of relate it this way. If I can get something, Brandy, if you would. You should never sit on the front row. People were wondering the whole time when I walked in, are you going to open those inside? See, no faith. No faith. I'm a picture kind of guy. I have to have things laid out to me real simple. What these umbrellas are really going to represent for us are the two areas that God works. You see, there are two attributes of God that if you read much in writings by Tozer and some by Lewis and some other people, you'll find out that they talk a lot about God's will. What does that mean? Well, see, how many of us were here when Jesus or when God said, let there be light? Anybody? So you didn't pray for that? See, that's God's expressed will. That's where God has ordained that something is going to happen. For whose glory? For his. It says all creation cries out his glory. So his expressed will is one thing that we have to come to terms with, that God has a plan and he doesn't consult us about it all the time. Or rarely. He's not asking our permission. He's God. We have to trust that he's right. So this represents his expressed will. Would you hold that one for me? Now then, there's another area that God works in our lives. I didn't know how that one worked. That's his permissive will. And this is the area where man's faith moves God. He says it very clearly in his word where he says, my people who are called by who? My name. Humble themselves and pray. What's he going to do then? He's going to hear. He's going to heal their land. See, his permissive will is, I will let you live in sin. But if you'll come to me and live under my permissive will, I will heal your land. Now, here's the problem. Some of the problems we face, God has said, I will allow your faith to activate me into moving and healing that situation. Permissive will. And sometimes God says, you know what? This is my will that you go through this. Not that I pluck you out of it, but that you walk through it. The problem is, Brandy's got that umbrella, I've got this one. Which one's your problem under? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I know the same God controls both. So the real issue is, not for the Christian. Thank you. She's not even going to get to keep one of these because those are my wife's. The real issue for the Christian is, are you going to really trust that no matter which umbrella that your situation rests under, God is right. He's right. He's good. He's right. The best example of this is to go back to David. And his child that he bore with Bathsheba, the first one, not Solomon, the child was born sick. David began to do the right thing. He fasted, he prayed God, and begged God for the child's life. And God, in his divine wisdom and ability to see the need for a lesson like this tonight, chose to let that child die. And that child did not die because David sinned. I've heard people say that, and it just drives me insane, because that child did not die because David sinned, because if that was the case, folks, none of us have a hope. That's just the facts. That child did not die because David had no faith, because God did not say, Daryl, a man after my own heart. He said, David, a man after my own heart. I promise you, he had faith. So why did he die? Well, you know what? David didn't ask a whole lot of whys. David said this. Then David arose from the earth. This is from the King James. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. What had just happened? His child had died. Where did he go? To church. He worshipped, and he came down to his own house, and when he required it, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then his servant said unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread? And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. He cannot come to me. You see, we glaze over this stuff sometimes, folks, and we don't see the powerful words of faith that are spoken. David rested not on the fact that God was just big and powerful. He rested on the fact that God was big and powerful and good. Because he said, I will go to him someday. I will go to him. And David didn't have the benefit of the New Testament to know how it's all going to work out in the end. But he had a promise from a God that said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The guy who Brandy quoted in writing Psalm 18, he talks about how he can bend a bow of bronze. Do you read about David's life during that time? He was running for his life, unjustly accused, and he's running for his life, and he says, My God is faithful. He didn't say, Why me? As Christians, you see, we're called to be little Christ. That's what it really means. And we're called to die to ourselves and live in Christ. This really hits home when we pray the kind of prayers that Christ prayed, Your will, not mine. You see, Christ was getting ready to go through the worst type of torture they had. You know, if they sit down and thought of the worst ways to kill you and the worst ways to prepare you for that death, that would have been how they wrote out Christ's last day. And there are times that I don't like the way that we try to make this so poetic and we show Christ so graciously leaning upon that rock in the Garden of Gethsemane, looking like he's talking to Santa Claus. Oh, please. No. He sweat drops of blood. Physicians will tell you that that kind of anxiety will kill the normal human being. He sweat drops of blood, and he did not want to go to that cross in his human form because he knew what was awaiting him. But he said one thing, not my will, yours. So am I saying that we should not expect God to heal? That we should just throw everything to the fact, well, if God wants to heal, he's going to, and then not have faith? Am I saying that God is playing some kind of a cruel game with our emotions, getting our hope up with some promises in the Bible and taking them away because he has that permissive expressed will clause in his word? No. Emphatically no. I am a firm believer in the power of the Holy Ghost in today's church. I'm a firm believer in the fact that my Bible tells me if I anoint someone with oil when they come before the church, that I expect to see them healed. Because if it wasn't true in that word, if one verse is wrong, the whole thing needs to be thrown away. I believe it's all real. So what does it mean? The Bible is replete with verses that promise us what to do when we come against sickness. That when we do our part, God will heal. James is very clear in his instructions, again, talking about the anointing with oil at the head of the church. It says, I've lost my place. Let them, if there's someone sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall seal the, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall rise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. In this verse, James tells us to pray for the sick and to expect that they will be healed. We are also told by Paul that by his stripes, Jesus' stripes, we are healed. And in other areas, we see examples of the sick being healed when faith was exhibited. And in one instance, we're even told about it, and I should have looked up the exact scripture verse because I may be quoting the wrong apostle when I say this, but when claws that Peter had touched and prayed over were given to the sick, they were healed. So does that power extinguish because revelation was finished? No. It says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said that whenever he went away to the Father, that the Holy Spirit would come to us and we would do even greater things than him. So the power is not depleted. It's not invalid in today's church. And you should hang your hat on the fact that the Holy Spirit will give you that power to heal. Yes. We have to do our part, though. Faith is not the absence of doubt and unbelief. It is the triumph over it. To simply say something is not faith. It is when you in your innermost heart have been given that situation that you can't fix. And that situation is screaming out to you your condition. And he's saying, I have you. And you take on a Rack, Shack, and Benny kind of faith. How many of you guys know who I'm talking about when I say Rack, Shack, and Benny? Okay? If you haven't, you need to get saved and watch VeggieTales, okay? If you didn't go to Bible college, that's what they do all the time. They watch VeggieTales. That's what it is. I firmly believe that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? They're called before the king, and they're saying, hey, we got a great idea. We're all going to bow down to the chocolate bunny or the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, whichever one you like better. I like the chocolate bunny myself. So they're all going to bow down. And they say, no, we're probably not going to do that. They said, oh, but you don't. You see, it's a bad deal because then, you know, we have Rack, Shack, and Benny fries later on because we roast you. You see, they didn't have the Old Testament to read to find out how it's going to turn out. What they said was, you know what, you can tie us up and throw us in the furnace. I will never bow to any other God but mine. And then they said a very key thing. If our God delivers us, that's great. If he doesn't, that's great. Because he's great. You see, that's faith. Faith is not painting God into a box and saying, if you are real, you'll heal. Faith is saying you're real. And no conditions. This boils down to having a kingdom mindset. I've got about 8 minutes left, and I'm going to try to get through this quick enough to not leave it in the middle, but I have been blessed with another great friend. His name's Mark Bliss. Now, Mark's smarter than your average circus horse. He's a graduate from West Point with a mechanical engineering degree, okay? He has his master's in theology, and the military is currently putting him through the Naval Postgraduate School to get his MBA. He's no slouch intellectually, okay? He and I barely talk because I bore him a lot, okay? Engineers are really hard for me to... They're brilliant people. And the way they think is not the same way I think, okay? But I called Mark up because I said, Mark, I'm going to be speaking on healing, and to be honest with you, man, I'm not that comfortable with it because I don't like some of the healing messages I've heard where people equate a lack of healing to a lack of faith, and that just burns me up. Or a lack of healing to sin in your life. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust alike. Mark said, Daryl, he said, you know what the hardest thing for Christians to come down to is the fact that we have to have a kingdom mindset. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, God's blessed me with some great opportunities. I mean, this guy flew Apaches for a long time. I mean, that's about the coolest job a guy can have. All that horsepower and a gun, wow, you know, blowing stuff up, and they're all bad people, you know. But you get to do stuff that's cool. And now he's being sent, after he gets done with his MBA, they're sending him to Special Forces School. Wow. I like knowing him, because then I'm like cooler because I know him. You know what I mean? And he said, you know, God's given me some opportunities to do some cool things, but he said, my life has to be about building the kingdom. Period. My career is important, but only as it serves Christ. He said, Daryl, he goes, I had to come to this determination because when I finished up with my MBA, they were going to send me to Iraq. He's already done some combat time in other places. And he said, you know what? It's a hard thing to look your wife in the eye that you've been married to. I forget how long he and Shelby have been married. But He spent a lot of years apart. A lot of those years he was in combat in Kosovo and some other places doing military combat missions. She could have gotten the phone call or the triangle flag at any time. And he said, "Daryl, we had to resolve a long time ago that my death or my life would serve Christ, period. And we would praise him regardless." He said, the real question for the Christian when it comes to healing is, do I have a kingdom mindset? Not an easy question to answer. Fact of the matter is, healing is very hard because it's not always going to happen. See, it says it's appointed unto man once to die, so I don't know who in here is in need of healing. To be honest with you, I'm glad I don't, because this would be very hard to speak on if I did. I can tell you about a situation I faced. I taught at our church back in Missouri, James River Assembly, and we taught the young families class. And like I say, I'm big on teaching on the Bible and your choices and the impact that they have in your life. And, you know, if you read your Bible every day, don't blame God for the fact that you went against his will, because it said right there, don't do this. And I'm big on these, on choices and their impact in your life. I love leadership stuff. I love broadening your mind in that. I love Tozer and Lewis and all these guys. Well, one day I'm speaking on, and Sandra probably couldn't tell you because she had the unfortunate experience of having to slip through all my classes too. And I don't even know what I was speaking on that day. But there's this couple in there. They're a great couple. They were always involved. They had a son that's a hemophiliac. Now, I don't know if you've ever had these situations, but when God's putting you in a really weird situation, it's going to cause you to step so far out of your comfort zone can't even be seen with a telescope anymore. That's where God was putting me. It's happened three times in my life, not all in the same area. First time I spoke in tongues, I thought I had lost my mind. I'll be honest with you, folks, I did. Didn't want to do it, thought it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. This situation, I'm speaking on something, and all of a sudden, get to the point in the class where we're going to close in prayer, we're going to take prayer requests, and God told me, have them go get their son, bring him in here, you pray over him, and I'll heal him. I didn't do it. He'd been prayed over by greater men than me every Sunday. But as clearly as you can hear my voice, God told me to get that boy in that room, and I would pray over him, he would be healed. And I promise you, folks, it wasn't for that boy's healing that was going to happen. It's so Daryl find out who this God that I talk about really is. And I will wear that shame for the rest of my life, because that boy's still a hemophiliac, and I swear to you, I would stack every dime I have on the fact that if I had prayed for him that day, he wouldn't be today. See, healing is not nice, and it's not easy. Because why hadn't he been healed the other thousand times I'd seen him up in front of the church being anointed? Why? And why did God pick me that day? Didn't he know that I would chicken out? Sounds funny, but folks, he's omniscient. You know why? Because he knew I'd be speaking tonight about it, and I'd have to go through that all over again. Faith, kingdom mindset, thinking rightly about God. If you want to talk about the keys that unlock healing, you really want to get healed, think about him rightly. Have the faith to step out when you can't see it. Get yourself a kingdom mindset that says, you know what? If I'm healed on the other side of this life, I will dance around his throne because I'm healed. And if I'm healed in this life, I will tell every soul that I run into that I was healed because he touched me. But either in my death or in my life, I will build that kingdom. I want to leave you with one more story. We had some friends named Robert and Doreen Kelly. We called them the pretty people. You know them. They're just pretty. He was a good-looking guy, thin, nice, wavy, California kind of hair. Kind of like Kevin Freese. I'm sorry, it was there, you know. They had the big house over on Bogey Hill, you know, the golf course. Dear friends, everything looked perfect, okay? From all outside appearances, man, they had it by the tail. She's a nurse. Coincidentally, she used to walk people through the process of dealing with chemotherapy. She finds a lump. Finds a lump. Everybody in here knew what that meant immediately. Now all of a sudden, the patient, or the doctor, is the patient in a way. You know what I saw happen? When they didn't know if Doreen was going to make it, and they had three boys and a little girl. I don't know what happened when the doors were closed. Wasn't there. But I saw faith walked out in front of people. And I saw Doreen Kelly lead her doctor to Christ. As he went in to do that mastectomy, she said, "You're going to hear about Jesus first." See, this doctor was so arrogant, he didn't want to know about Christ. His name's written down now. I saw nurses come. I saw people in our Sunday school class who had no real need for an active faith. Yeah, church was fun because we had a lot of things going on. But as far as Jesus getting involved on Monday to Saturday, you know what? He needs to stay on Sunday where he belongs. I saw their testimony change that in people. Now then, Doreen's physical appearance was dramatically altered. She lost all of her hair, and she, no woman on earth is more beautiful than my wife, but she was a very beautiful lady. Bald. Beautiful hair. I saw grace, and I saw faith. And I promise you, if you were to ask Doreen Kelly today, you know, Doreen, if you could go back over and God would say, "You know what, I'll give you the choice. Your life without that pain or your testimony." She'd look you in the eye and she'd say, "No. I didn't know who he was. I just thought I did. But now I know. Because that word was no longer literature. It was life. And I breathed it. And I came to terms with the fact that I will live and glorify him, or my death will bring glory to him. But I will glorify him." So in a supposedly talk on healing tonight, I just want to leave you with one thing. When you're facing things, and we're all going to face things, some of them are going to be sickness, some are going to be financial, some of them are going to be problems that we created, and some are going to be problems we didn't. When that rain comes, whether you're just or unjust, just pray. Don't pray for deliverance right away. I mean, hey, we're all going to pray for that because I believe that the Bible tells us to, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But first pray, "God, make my heart right with you so that whatever your will is in this, I'm your biggest fan." And have the courage to walk that out and find out what that testimony is worth to you on the other side. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the fact that to follow you does require faith. I thank you for the fact that your word, though it's not mysterious, still has some mysteries as to who you are. Because that's where we grow. I thank you for not only being omniscient and omnipotent, but, oh God, I thank you for your patience. And I thank you for the fact that every one of us in here when we face those things that you use in our life to grow us, that you love us enough to give us the choice of the mindset that we have. And I pray that we would have the courage to trust you in those times when it seems to make no sense, and to believe that you will get the glory, and let that be our goal. We praise you, we thank you, and we pray that you would be glorified in what we do in our lives tomorrow and the next day and so on. In your heavenly name, amen.